Welcome into the Unnamed MMA Podcast. I'm Adam Abdallah. With me, as always, Jordan Sherwood. Follow him on Twitter at Wood on ESPN 1000. Get all of his picks, FatJackSports.com. Sign up today. Get all the NFL, college football, college basketball, the NBA, all that good stuff. Sign up today. And, of course, all of Jordan's picks right there, FatJackSports.com. It's here, finally, after two mediocre cards. We are finally back. UFC 322, Madison Square Garden, an absolutely loaded card, Jordan. This one is stacked from top to bottom. Even some of the prelims here are great for us today, or this weekend, I guess. We're recording this on a Thursday, so some of the odds change here. Keep an eye on that. As we know, in recent weeks, there's been some chicanery going on in the UFC. I don't think we're concerned about any of that going on with some of these top fighters here going on at UFC 322, especially in these prelims and especially on the main card with so many big names fighting this Saturday at UFC 322 at Madison Square Garden.
I'm still trying to just consume the fact you said mediocre cards the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, they've been horrible.
That's the difference between mediocre and horrible. I mean, they've been horrible.
They've been horrible.
Like Gabriel Bronfim and Randy Brown, I mean, ended up being somewhat of an entertaining fight, but that as a headliner doesn't get people excited. But this should. You know, this should. This is very, very top-heavy and very, very deep of a card and an important card. And especially when you get a card that's going to have a guy in Islam Makhachev that's the pound-for-pound number one rated fighter in the world, the now former UFC lightweight champion of the world, going up to try and do something that only names like John Jones and George St. Pierre and BJ Penn have done. And that's, you know, win a title at two different weight classes. So it's an intriguing fight from that standpoint. It's MSG, so it has that little bit of a mystique as well. So absolutely, there should be excitement about it. And I think, again, it's also extremely important where it's happening in the calendar portion of the year, because, as you know, when we turn towards 2026, we go to Paramount, we've got the White House card, we've got a very intriguing, you know, first half of 2026 that a lot of the fights that are taking place now are going to determine what type of fights we're going to get to kick off the first half of next year.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we've got a couple more we've got one more pay-per-view coming up. We've got next week, November 22nd, we've got UFC Fight Night coming up in Qatar on November 22nd. That's going to be
your boy
with Bilal Muhammad fighting Ian Machado Gary, and then the main event, Armin Sarukian against Dan Hooker. And then a couple weeks, they're off for obviously Thanksgiving. And then we've got UFC 323, December 6th. That's Mirab Dvashvili against Peter Yan. The second fight between those two guys. And then, obviously, Pantoja and Joshua Van in that one. Jan Blachowicz. It's an okay card, I guess. It's fine. It's a decent card, I guess.
Yeah, it's fine to close up the year. I think that the Pantoja-Joshua Van fight is extremely exciting. I mean,
that's a good fight.
Pantoja has become that dominating champion, like Mirab, but unlike in the Mirab fight with Peter Yan, Joshua Van is a new challenger for the flyweight championship.
Yeah.
The guy that burst onto the scene might be up for fighter of the year, especially if he is victorious come December. But we're not here to talk about UFC 323. We're here about to talk about UFC 322, as you alluded to. It's a stacked fight card, and I'll be definitely tuned in. And as you alluded to last week on the podcast, I mean, this is it's not breaking news, but it's important. The news dog. You said that this is going to be a card that you are not watching through someone's sunglasses. You're not watching on some weird stream of a guy watching it at a Buffalo Wild Wings. Like,
maybe
Adam Abdallah is like thinking about dedicating himself to sitting and watching it on it's not an illegal stream, but it's not an illegal stream in some sort of way.
I'll find it somehow. Hopefully I can find someone that's just filming their TV somehow. I'm not going to pay for it. I don't do that. But the reason I will try to find a dedicated stream is because Alabama plays at 2:30. So I don't have to, like, Alabama's not at night.
Right.
So Alabama will most likely upset me during the day. because they play Oklahoma, so that's like their biggest game left on the schedule, because they play Eastern, Yurko's Eastern Illinois next week, and then the week after is the Iron Bowl with Auburn. So
they're a mess.
Yeah, so exactly. So their biggest game is, and that's at 2:30, so it'll be done by 6:30. So it'll be well done before this card starts, the main card starts. So I can focus on that. So I won't be having to, like, there's not a bigger game that I'm going to be focusing on other than this. So I will try to find a dedicated stream to try to find this somehow. Yeah. And I'll do it, because that's where my focus will be.
I mean, I'm sorry I don't live in the city. Otherwise, I'd just invite you over to watch.
I would say we would just go to a bar to watch this somewhere. Yeah, we could just go to a bar and find this somewhere. So let's get started here. UFC 322, Madison Square Garden. Probably the best card left of the year before we hit the last couple UFC events. Beneil Dariush gets it kicked off here in the main card with Benoit Saint-Denis. Denis here, minus 215, the heavy favorite against Beneil Dariush, plus 165. Dariush is coming in with a unanimous decision win over Renato Moicano at UFC 317 back in Vegas. He's 9-2 over his last 11 outings. And yeah, that'll be good. That's good for him. And Dariush is coming in after halting a 2-fight losing streak with a second round submission at UFC 315. He coming in to Paris, beating Mauricio Rufi when we came in, and the Fighting Nerds lost that entire card and had that bad showing. They had a bad few weeks, and the Fighting Nerds were down bad. But we'll talk about one of the Fighting Nerds later. Because Protest is on this card a little bit later. Probably my favorite Fighting Nerd is on this card a little bit later. So we'll talk about that because Denis is 7-2. He's 7-2 coming into this one, and he is minus 215 on this one.
Great fight to kick off the main card, and actually good thing that they moved Bo Nickel and Hadafo Vieira off of it. Originally they were placed on it, but now they're the headline in prelim. And you get, you know, a barn burner of a fight. Benoit Saint-Denis just comes after you with aggression, with power, with a versatility of strikes, and a kill or be killed type of attitude. And that's what we've seen. You know, I think it was impressive that he was able to, get Mauricio Rufi out of there. The Fighting Nerds were on a meteoric rise. They were the hot team. They were winning fights.
Too close to the sun.
This one and this one too. We thought that, you know, was going to be the same result, but Benoit Saint-Denis utilized wrestling. Rufi was definitely questionable in that area, and Benoit Saint-Denis exploited that against Beneil Dariush. He's not going to be able to do that grappling and that wrestling, because if he does, he's going to the ground not with a guy that's a fish out of water. He's going to the ground with a guy that's a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt. And I love Beneil Dariush because he's the old man at the barbecue that if you fuck with, he's gonna dominate you in whatever sport or whatever fight you challenge him at. He shouldn't be as skilled as he is. He's got that look. He's got the salt and pepper hair. He looks like an old dad. Looks like me. But you know what? The guy is still a phenomenal fighter and a fighter that has been in the top, you know, of the lightweight division for quite some time. I think when you look at this fight on paper, certainly Beneil Dariush has the skill set to challenge Benoit Saint-Denis, and the skill set for what Benoit Saint-Denis doesn't do well with, and that is a pressure fighter that's got power and it's got some grappling to rely on. Renato Moicano and Dustin Poirier, the two losses that you alluded to, and Benoit Saint-Denis, you know, fumbled and lost against both of those guys. And Dariush can, have the same game plan. He can go after you with pressure and power, and he can go after you and utilize his wrestling and his cardio to exploit Benoit Saint-Denis, that I think some people would still question from a cardio standpoint. The one thing that we've seen from Beneil Dariush, though, is that he can get stopped. He does have a little bit of a suspect chin. There have been times where he's been, you know, dropped in fights, hurt in fights, or knocked out in fights. And certainly, Benoit Saint-Denis is a guy that can hurt you. And Beneil Dariush sometimes takes one to give two. I don't think you're taking one against Benoit Saint-Denis, certainly. So, I think, Abdallah, when you look at, you were going through the win-loss record of Benoit Saint-Denis, how good is he? Because I guess his one biggest win now is Mauricio Rufi, and maybe we don't know how good that guy is. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, the guys that he's beaten, not great. You know, not you know, guys that are going to just roll off the tongue as they're top in the lightweight division. So the play for me in this fight is the under at 2.5.
Okay.
At a dollar 80. Right now that they've released on the sports books, I'm finding it at the best price is 2.8. It's trending up towards $2, 2.25. But if you get it at dollar 80, dollar 85, I like that. I think there is going to be a finish in this fight. If you want to sprinkle on a winner, and it's not one that I'm confident yet in, it's going to be Dariush. It's going to be Dariush to drag this fight into deeper waters. Be that pressure fighter that has caused some issues for St. Denis before and win a fight like that. So it's not a confident one because I'm still worried that just Benoit St. Denis is going to unleash some ungodly, you know, right hand and just put Dariush to sleep. Because Dariush is getting up there in age as well. But to me, it's the under at 2.5.
All right, under 2.5, and that's what Vegas thinks. Denis by knockout plus 155, Denis by points plus 420, Dariush by points plus 500, and Denis by submission plus 600, Dariush by knockout plus 600, and Dariush by submission plus 700. So they're all kind of pretty close together.
You know, the Dariush sub is interesting because, again, it's a guy that's a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt. He's very well versed. Benoit St. Denis might be confident in his wrestling and want to try and get to the ground. And, you know, certainly a guy that, you know, never been submitted before. He's only been stopped. He's been stopped by strikes and by Dustin Poirier and Hanonte Moicano. But, you know, again, playing down in that, you're confident with the victory over Rufy, which was a neck crank, and then you go and try and go to the ground with Benil Dariush. I don't know if that's a smart move.
All right, our next fight here, Leon Edwards against another fighting nerd that I just mentioned. I was talking about Carlos Prates. Prates comes in here a heavy favorite, minus 200. Leon Edwards coming in on a two-fight skid, plus 155 on the money line. Prates coming in, dropping a unanimous decision to Ian Machado Gary, who is going to face Bilal Muhammad next week. We talked about that a little bit earlier. Prates, fighting nerd, we talked about that. Loves to chain smoke. I love him. He's great. He's coming in also UFC 319. He's got the first round knockout off of Jeff Neal. He's losing he also lost to Machado Gary. We talked about that. Leon Edwards losing two in a row. He's plus 155, Prates minus 200. And much like the last fight we just talked about, Prates likes to come in and just throw haymakers. And this is what he likes to do. And I said that Prates is one of my favorite fighters. It is no question my prop of the night is going to be in this fight.
Yeah, Prates, you know, he's got the deft touch. He's Chung Lee, you know, he's got the deft touch. Left, right, you know, left foot, right foot, knees. You know, the interesting storyline this week is that Leon Edwards is saying that, you know, finally, favorably, you know, he's got a matchup that is not against a wrestler, not against a guy that he's going to have to, you know, completely concentrate, you know, the takedowns. Because, you know, in his last two losses, Bilal Muhammad for the championship, and then he just looked, you know, terrible against Sean Brady, who fights, you know, later on in this card in a very important welterweight fight.
Yep.
And again, but, you know, Leon Edwards, I mean, he got to the championship. He beat Kamaru Usman. But this is a guy that has looked listless in his last two fights. I mean, I don't know what effort is he's got anymore. Certainly a victory over Carlos Prates gets him back into the consideration. I don't think he gets him into a title shot. I just think that if Leon Edwards is going to want to, you know, utilize his kickboxing background and then try and put together some wrestling that he's developed as a fighter and becoming a champion, it's going to be a hard task, a hard pill to swallow against a guy in Prates who's got just unbelievable footwork, unbelievable timing with his strikes, the power that I alluded to, and, you know, he is getting better in the takedown department. Maybe this is a situation like the fighting nerds still are struggling in that area, but I don't think so. I don't see anybody with a confident and straight face. Even if you don't believe Carlos Prates is a guy that's going to be challenging for a championship and a guy that has a great skill set. I mean, look, but he did bounce back with a very impressive victory against Jeff Neal his last time out. That's fine. You don't have to believe that. You can believe the fighting nerds got to their pinnacle and now they're on their way down. You can't back Leon Edwards. There is no way you can back Leon Edwards, a guy that actually in that fight against Kamaru Usman before he won the title was dead on a stool. And then he did have a highlight reel and a miracle KO head kick to put Kamaru Usman out of there. But he just hasn't cared. He just hasn't looked like he's cared the last two times. And he's given up. And he gives up a lot of times in fights. Now, it's not a five-round fight. It's three. But I just don't see how you can back him. So I am excited to hear what your prop of the night is because I think I'm going to back it. With a guy like Carlos Prates.
Prates by knockout, plus 165. Prates by points, plus 250. Edwards by points, plus 290. Edwards by knockout, plus 260. Prates by sub, and Edwards by sub, doesn't matter. My prop of the night is Prates by knockout, plus 165.
Yeah, I'm on the same boat as you. I think Prates is a special talent. He's got the ability to end fights, and end fights quickly. Leon Edwards has been hurt before in fights, and I think this is a shining opportunity and moment. It was definitely a learning opportunity in situation against Ian Machado Gary when Prates headlined a fight, and I think he learned from it because, look, he bounced back impressively over Jeff Neal and got that guy out of there.
Do we start our parlay with Prates?
Yes, we can.
All right, we'll start our Prates parlay. I love it. All right, we just talked about, you mentioned it, very important fight here between Sean Brady and Michael Morales here. In this matchup, Sean Brady minus 150 and Michael Morales plus 115. Brady coming in here on a 3-fight win streak. He beat Leon Edwards, who we just talked about. He is 18-1 overall, 3-fight winning streak. And Morales coming in is 6-0 in the UFC with 4 finishes. He's beaten Neil Magny. He's beaten Gilbert Burns. He's got first-round stoppages, so this should be a very good fight and a very important fight in the welterweight division, and a very close fight if you're looking at the odds, our closest fight so far that we've talked about until we get to the next fight in the flyweight championship in the women's division, which should be an excellent fight. But this has been the closest in odds so far. Sean Brady minus 150, Michael Morales plus 115.
Yeah, I mean, Sean Brady's looked very, very good. You know, this is a guy that learned from his loss against Bilal Muhammad. You know, that was a big showcase fight for him. Bilal Muhammad didn't need to take that fight did and stopped him, you know, stopped him with strikes. But since that point, 3 wins in a row for Sean Brady, a guy that utilizes his wrestling to a very strong, you know, part of his game, fights hard with a lot of cardio and backs it up with some ever improving striking, you know, so he's got that going for him. And now he's going in there against a guy that's been an absolute monster since he's arrived in the UFC, a guy that's gigantic for the UFC welterweight division, and a guy that's looked very impressive, especially in stoppages lately of Neil Magny, Gilbert Burns, and he's also undefeated, 18-0 for a reason. But this is a dramatic step up in competition. Gilbert Burns is not the same fighter that we once was. And although, yes, a victory over Neil Magny, like we know how we love Neil Magny on this show. That guy wins fights and wins at it, plus 400, plus 350. But he does lose to the upper echelon of the division. He loses to the Carlos Prates of the world. He loses to the Michael Morales of the world. I just worry about the takedown defense of Michael Morales. I think even though he's going to have a significant height, significant reach, significant power advantage, he's been taken down a lot in his UFC career. It's just been – it has a bit against – the caliber of opponents like a Sean Brady. There's still a little me that believes that Sean Brady isn't this big-time talent because of what I saw when he got in there with the best of the best in Bilal Muhammad, and he got stopped in the first round. But he has improved in that point. I think, you know, I would favor him in a fight against Carlos Prates, you know, if they were to cross paths. Obviously, he beat Leon Edwards, so I would suspect Carlos Prates to beat Leon Edwards. That's why we're leaning on him. No play on this fight. No play on this fight. I guess if for me, it's a combination of Brady and the over. I like Michael Morales, so I'm probably being a little bit biased as a fan that I want to see him win. I'd like to see some new blood there at the top. I like the undefeated fighter. But I think the smart, logical play is that Brady's going to utilize his experience against Tupper-level competition. He's going to utilize takedowns for control because he's going to have to get to the fight to the ground against a guy that's going to be the better striker, the more powerful striker, and the longer reach, and control him. So combination of Brady and the over 2.5 would be my recommendation.
All right, so the over 2.5 is minus 166. Brady by points is plus 190. Morales by points is plus 300. You think it's going to go to the judges, so we'd say Brady by points at plus 190 is probably your best value.
Yeah, I think that from a value standpoint,
if you have to play the fight. Okay, this should be the best fight on the card. This one is probably, I'm looking at the notes here from the UFC. Obviously, they are biased. This is the one, they're the ones putting on this. They say you could make the case for this being the best matchup between female competitors in UFC history. Valentina Shevchenko and Zhang Weili. Shevchenko coming in this minus 130 and Weili plus 100, even money. The flyweight championship, the co-main event. This one, I don't even think the preview here. I mean, what do you need to say about these two fighters? The two best, like, this should be an absolute brawl.
For the best of all time.
The best of all time. This should be an absolutely insane fight. Shevchenko 25-4-1 in her career. And you've got Wei Li is 26-3 overall in her career, 10-2 in her UFC tenure. This should be absolutely bonkers fight. The odds dictate it's going to be a very close fight. If you're looking at method of victory, they're both points are the favorites here. Shevchenko by points is +155. Wei Li by points is +210. So you're going to get a judge's scorecard, it looks like. This should be a great fight.
I mean, look, so many people wrote off Valentina Shevchenko when she lost to Alexa Grasso. Grasso, you know, wasn't really heralded as a challenger and then submitted her in the fourth round with a face crank. You know, it was almost as if Valentina Shevchenko kind of gave up and wanted out of there. But since that point, she's won two fights in a row. She drew with Alexa Grasso, then dominated Alexa Grasso. And then fine. She got rid of Alexa Grasso. Here comes Manon Farreau, like the world beater. No problem. Dominated her after like maybe a suspect round.
Yeah.
So she needs to be applauded for what she's done throughout her historic, not only mixed martial arts career, but just her entire career of fighting. You know, the kickboxing background, the grappling, and just a phenomenal martial artist. A one that's got unbelievable striking, great submissions, good cardio, good heart, and very tactical and smart within there. Wei Li, the same way. Wei Li, the same way, the ability to bounce back after the loss of Rosenstrom and Yunus, reclaim her throne, her constant pressure, she hits hard, she's got grappling, she has submissions. And the thing for me, Abdallah, is that we weren't doing the podcast at the time, but I believe I've seen this fight before. I've seen this fight when Valentina Shevchenko was the lighter fighter, went up in weight to challenge Amanda Nunes, not once but twice. Amanda Nunes, the GOAT, the greatest of all time on my Mount Rushmore of all fighters, not just female, all fighters. And she went to split decision with her twice. I think we're seeing the same fight, except it's taking place now that Valentina Shevchenko's the bigger fighter.
Okay.
She's going to have the size advantage against Wei Li. She's going to be, you know, a little bit challenged because Wei Li's going to come after her just like Valentina likes to come after people. So for me, I'm still siding with the champion. I'm still siding with the defending champion, the one that's not going up in weight, the one that has her crown, has her throne as the dominating champion. So I think Valentina on the money line, Valentina likely by points, is the direction that I'm going. She's winning this fight. She's proven to me and proven to the world once again that she's one of the greatest, if not all time. She's not Amanda Nunes because Amanda Nunes beat her twice, but one of the greatest of all time.
All right, so Shevchenko, money line, -130. And then if you need to add some extra value, we just mentioned it, Shevchenko by points at +155. I don't think it's good enough odds to throw in the parlay. I think that you kind of have to be like 150 or higher to throw in the parlay. How do you feel? You feel that as well?
No, I don't want to go.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about, as opposed to like kind of what we're going to talk about in the main event, you've got two champions that basically have cleared out their divisions.
Yes.
And are fighting each other.
Yes.
Jack Della Maddalena is making his first title defense.
Yeah. Like, so, Makhachev is going in the
park. So I would not be surprised if Wei Li just goes in there and Wei Li's the shit out of Valentina Shevchenko and wins the fight.
Yeah.
So like, I don't want her in the parlay.
Makhachev's already in the parlay. Like, let's not.
Ooh, okay.
Let's not get it twisted. Oh, you don't think so?
Ooh.
Oh, you don't think so?
Ooh.
Listen. I'll go into this fight right now. Okay, let's get into it. All right, welterweight championship main event. Jack Della Maddalena against Islam Makhachev. Makhachev, the absolutely heavy favorite here, -290. I mean, let's not get it twisted here. If Bilal Muhammad was the champion, Islam Makhachev would be fighting Ilia Topuria. Because he's not, he's fighting Maddalena. And
giving me another reason to dislike Bilal.
I'm just telling you, that's what it was going to happen.
Yeah.
And so because Bilal lost the fight, now Maddalena is fighting Makhachev. Maddalena is a very heavy underdog at +215. Obviously, we know he's 6 months ago, he beat Bilal Muhammad, and now he's going to fight against a former lightweight champion, Islam Makhachev. And we know the story of Islam Makhachev. He's the best pound-for-pound fighter in the UFC. I just think he steamrolls Maddalena. I think he just comes in because he's not going to do what Bilal Muhammad should have done. He's not going to fight the way that Modolano wants him to fight. He's going to fight the way Islam Makhachev is supposed to fight. He's going to go to the ground, he's going to grapple him, and he's going to submit him fairly quickly, I believe. He's going to take him down, and he's going to submit him. Islam Makhachev, if I could have two, can I have two props of the night? Yeah, can I double prop?
It's your podcast.
Can I double? It's our podcast, first of all. We're teammates. It's our podcast. Come on, core values here. It's our podcast. I'll double prop.
I mean, I feel like it's a pay-per-view. You can have two.
Islam Makhachev by submission, sprinkle, another prop, plus 195.
Yeah.
Another prop.
I mean, I get you. And I think, like, when we talk about Islam Makhachev being Khabib 2.0, like, Belal was 0.5 of Islam Makhachev. He was like that version. Because he was training in Dagestan.
Yeah.
He was training with the guys. And Jack Del Maddalena, whether it be because Belal Muhammad chose to or not, whatever, Jack Del Maddalena shut that down.
Yeah.
Shut down the takedowns and forced it into a 5-round kickboxing fight, which that is right up Jack Del Maddalena's
alley. But I think that that Belal bought into it and stopped trying to take him
but
down.
But here's the thing. We have seen at times Islam Makhachev fall into fights like that. He has fallen into brawls. He has fallen into striking contests when it's not the appropriate action. Now, I swear to God, I see it right now. They're in the back of Madison Square Garden. There's only two people in the room. It's Khabib and it's Islam Makhachev.
Yeah.
And it's just like a stoic.
Yeah.
It's actually a one-sided conversation. Islam Makhachev is not getting in a word. Nurmagomedov is just telling him how to win this fight.
I don't even think there's talking.
What is he just using?
Staring at him, and he's just Makhachev is just nodding, and Khabib is just is just staring at him.
Yeah.
He just knows.
I will be more confident when I see what he looks like on the scale. I want to see what this guy does look like, because he has 100% only fought at lightweight. He's always been a smaller lightweight. Islam Makhachev. I would like to see this guy at 170 pounds. I'm sure he's going to look great. I'm sure he's going to look jacked and ready for this fight. And if that happens, then yes, I will side with you that Islam Makhachev should win this fight. He should dominate this fight. Jack Del Maddalena, I think, is a good fighter. But if you ask me to rank the top 170-pound fighters, I'm probably not naming him first.
No.
Probably not naming him second.
No.
Maybe I name him third in regards to the guys that I love at 170 pounds. So, look. Islam Makhachev, yeah, should dominate the fight. I'll side with you. I'll get on board with that sub of the night, plus 195.
All right, put him in the parlay?
Put him in the parlay.
Okay, thank you. All right, you agree with me. I from the jump, as soon as he won, I'm like, well, Makhachev's going to fuck him up. Like, if it wasn't Makhachev and he wasn't, you know, if it was anybody else, I would say, okay, Madalena's got a chance. But it's Khabib being in the corner. It's everything. Like, it's just he's more disciplined than Belal. I just don't think he's going to fall into the trap of I hate the cross sport comparison. He's not going to get away from the run game. He's not going to fall into the trap.
Mm-hmm.
He's just not going to. And Belal, I think Belal gets cocky sometimes and does the, okay, you want to box? I'll box you. And you can't do that. You just can't. And I could be wrong. But I don't think Makhachev's going to do that. Okay, so not a lot of plays here, actually, for this fight. We've got the Dariush under 2.5. We've got Shevchenko on the money line. And we've got the Protest knockout at plus 165. And we've got Makhachev by sub at plus 195. And we've got a two-fight parlay right now, so we've got to add some to the parlay right
Let's
now.
Let's add Fatima Klein. Even though I love Angela Hill, I think, you know, finally that the
that's
age
minus
is,
520. Okay, that doesn't really do
here.
Much for us here. Let's see what else. We got a lot of fights on this card.
We do, but just like the other. I think Malcolm Wellmaker is a special talent. Dower 86 over Cody Haddon. So
okay.
I'll take that. And I do believe Bo Nickel bounces back. I think he learned a lot from his Rainier de Ritter loss, so he handles Rodolfo Vieira.
Okay. So five fights here. We've got Carlos Prates, Islam Makhachev, Fatima Klein, Malcolm Wellmaker, and Bo Nickel. That pays plus 445.
Okay.
Plus 445 on the money line there for that five-leg parlay. Excuse me.
Five legs. That's
five legs. I know. That is tough.
might as well just take out Fatima. Like, what's the point?
I know. That does. I mean, that's a big one. If you take out Fatima, that's only plus 350, though. So might as well just throw her in there at plus 520. Might as well. And then there's this Bucinger subscribe at minus 1,100.
Who?
I don't know. I'm looking at this guy that's minus 1,100.
I don't have that fight on my card.
I'm looking at Saturday at 5:30 p.m. It looks like it's the first fight. The first, very first fight.
I'll have to find it. I don't have it written down.
Minus 1,100. Minus 1,100.
Oh, is that the, it just got added against, no.
By knockout is minus 210 for this guy.
Slava Claus is on the card now.
By Sanger Susukarov.
Oh, I don't have that. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, he'll
He's minus 210 by knockout.
Yeah, he'll win that fight by knockout. Yeah.
Okay, I'm throwing that into the parlay. I'm throwing that in.
All right.
Add that to the parlay. Why not? All right. He's Jordan Sherwood. Follow him on Twitter at WoodOnESPN1000. Make sure you do that in case there's any weird, odd movement and anyone decides to throw a fight. You never know what's going to happen. Get all of his picks at FatJackSports.com. Follow me on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah. And we'll be back next week to preview some... Oh, yeah. No, Bilal fights next week. Yeah. We'll be back to preview as Jordan picks against Bilal. Thanks for listening to the Unnamed MMA Podcast.